Genesis, first book of the Bible, laying a foundation as we talk about our advocate, We're going to read about Abraham and Sodom. Boy, it's kind of clouds. May gray, a little bit early, a little blessing from, well, actually it's May, right? But it's kind of started the beginning of May. Cool, rain. I love this time of year because I know in July it's going to be blazing hot and humid. Amen? So celebrate it while you can. My wife hates these months. These are some of my most treasured months of the year in San Diego. All right, Genesis chapter 18, verses 20 through 33. God's preparing to destroy Sodom because of its sin. We read about that. It talks with Abraham. Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin so grievous, that I will go down and see what they have done, if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." And the men turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will you not judge all of the earth? Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" And the Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole city for their sake." The conversation continues on. And he says, how about for five people, 45 and 40 and 30 and 20, gets down to 10. And the Lord says, "Okay, Abraham, because you have interceded, I will spare the city of Sodom for 10 righteous men." But 10 were not found. Lord, we come before you this morning, and I thank you for the witness of Abraham, that he stood in the gap for Sodom. Lord, I thank you that you stand in the gap for us, that you hung on a cross to bring us out of darkness into light, and that you send the Holy Spirit as our advocate, Lord, that we can and truly enter into the kingdom, enter into your family, and find fullness in our lives. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Turn me up a little bit there, Matthew. We have two junior sound men, sound people in training. A little round of applause for our, yes, there we go. All righty, we're talking about power today, and I thought I would share with you my efforts on our mine and Joe's 1963 Oldsmobile Super 88. Now, I have discussed this in the past, and just so that you could get a grip on the magnificence of this vehicle, I did take a picture of it this morning. Not one, nothing out there, really? 396, four barrel carb. Wow. Yes, we have been working on this for the last couple of years. My wife indeed asked about it this week and said, "What more does it need so that we can sell it?" Yes, he does not have the love for the super that Joe and I have. But it has been coming along. We put the chrome on it. Life is good. Last week I was driving around, noticed that there were no brakes. And yes, that is a hazard. So did some research on it. Needed an air assist check valve. Doesn't that sound techie? But for $12... got that baby rolling around, brakes, all is good. When I was checking the brakes, I did notice that the transmission did seem to only function in one gear. And so now having brakes and the like and those things, I thought Wednesday morning I've got a few extra minutes. I'm just going to go for a little cruise in the super. And just see what's going on with the tranny. Well, I drove it down. It indeed only did seem to have one gear. And as I was driving it down, I'd go down the hill, and there's this, like, I don't know, about a mile, little stretch I can kind of have my little racetrack. And it was kind of running a little rough, and I said, well, you know, I might only have one gear. I better get back to my house before I have no gears. And so I turned around and go around the flats, and it's kind of a little rough, and start heading up the hill, and sputter, 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 die. Not enough power to get over the hill. I coasted downhill. You know, and realistically, come on, drivers. I mean, what? Is this the end of the world? Come on. You can't see a guy coming down in a magnificent 1963 old Super Raider 8 and just curve around? No, no, it's like the world, end of the world. But so anyway, I made it down to the bottom of the hill with some safety. And started that baby right up. Man, we are good. Four barrel carb, 394 cubic inches. We are ready to go up the hill. Died. Coasted down the hill. Turned the motor off. Didn't have enough power to get over the hill. Talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, because so often, my old Super 88 is a picture of our lives. We don't have enough power. Can I get a witness on that? Yeah. We're in a series called The Purchased, or Purchased for Power. That the Lord does not intend you to live your life as that 1963 old Super 88 394 four-barrel carburetor is existing without power. The Lord has indeed purchased you for power and makes that power available, that as you line up on Him, He draws near to you and there is supernatural assistance available for your life. Amen? Amen? Now, in the last series, Selected to Soar, I described, I used a technical word, evangelical, and I used the word as described by George Barna, a church pollster guy, and he talked about these seven things that are very important to evangelicals. Their faith is very important. They have a responsibility to evangelize others. Satan exists as a living entity. He is your enemy. Salvation is attained through God's grace, not human effort or works. Jesus Christ led a sinless life while on this earth. The Bible is accurate throughout. God is omniscient, omnipotent, omnibeneficent, all-powerful, all-knowing creator of the universe who is still ruling it today. Amen. That's good stuff. Amen? Amen? I am going to describe to you a new word today called Pentecostal. So we have evangelical and we have Pentecostal. Pentecostals, of which I am one, would put a focus on the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Pentecostals are, in essence, evangelical plus. We got all that stuff, plus we believe in the ongoing ministry of the Holy Spirit. Okay, are you tracking with me? So, all that, we believe the Bible, evangelicals believe the Bible, but I'm going to give you this text here, right here. 1 Corinthians 3, 18, 20 through 23. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. Now, Paul he's writing in the book of 1 Corinthians. He is describing the acts of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. And evangelicals, as we read through the book of Acts, and I highly suggest that you read, through the whole Bible. But the Acts, fuller title is called The Acts of the Apostles. And it really, as you take a look at the book of Acts, it is the acts of the apostles as they are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 describes the day of Pentecost, which the day of Pentecost is two Sundays from today. So, being Pentecostal, we generally will take May and describe Pentecost and Pentecostalism to you guys. Are we okay? Everybody tracking with me? All right, so evangelicals are good Bible-believing folks. They will be in heaven. We will be in heaven. But where we differentiate on our faith, on our belief, is in the rest of this text here. It says, For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the imperfect will pass away. Okay? Now, you go to Baptist Church, you go to, I probably should have done a little research on all the different kinds of, Nazarene Church, Evangelical, what is Chuck Swindoll's church? Help me out, Pastor Paul. Chuck Swindoll is a... Anyway, there's lots of churches out there that are evangelicals. I'll bring you a list next time. But what they say is, yeah, the Holy Spirit was doing a bunch of great stuff in the apostles in the book of Acts. But when the perfect came, all that stuff that the Holy Spirit was doing stopped. And they use this text. And what they say the perfect was the Bible. That the Bible is the perfect. And when the Bible was canonized, when the Bible was completed, the Holy Spirit's job shifted. And now his job is to enlighten us to the Word of God. And we believe that too as Pentecostals. But as a Pentecostal preacher, I believe that when the Bible talks about the perfect coming, Paul is referring to when Jesus comes back. Because I tell you what, you take a look around, you take a look at our nation, you take a look at, you go online, you look at, man, there's all these suicide bombers going around through Iraq in just the last couple of days. You look at the earthquakes, look at all the drama. There's a lot of bad stuff going on, amen? And for us to live in the midst of all that bad stuff, I believe Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to empower us so that we will not be like my Super 88 trying to get up the hill and just can't make it. Amen? And so the Holy Spirit comes with power. Title of today's message is The Power of the Spirit. And we're going to talk about that. Are we okay? Want to be anybody freaking out here? Pentecostals. I used to know this guy, yeah. Pastor of a church, he goes, yeah, we're a Pentecostal church, but there's no scratch marks on my window. In other words, no people climbing the walls or none of that crazy stuff. Because there's some crazy stuff going on. In the coming weeks, I'll talk about that as well. But we're going to talk about the foundation for Pentecostalism, the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to take a look at John chapter 14 and John chapter 16. All these are quotes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Sound good? Amen. Here we go. All right. Help is on the way. How many people could use a little help this week? Poquito ayuda esta semana. Right. Yeah, we can use some help. If you love me, keep my what? If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, he describes him here. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit is close. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to let you know that the Holy Spirit has indeed come and taken up residence inside you this morning. Amen? Jesus is talking here before his arrest, before his crucifixion, before his resurrection, and before his ascension. So the Holy Spirit is not yet given. The Spirit of truth, he says, will be another advocate, okay? And that word there, another, means another one like one that you have now. Jesus is our advocate. Abraham was the advocate for Sodom before the Lord. Where we're talking, the word there for advocate, the Greek word is paraclete. I'm sorry, I know I used some Greek words in the last couple of weeks. It's not a new trend, but the paraclete can be translated helper, comforter, counselor, many, many words, but somebody who would come alongside and to bring assistance. Writer of Hebrews in chapter 7. Jesus yet lives to intercede for us. So, as Sandra Hurd is going around her week, our Lord Jesus Christ is praying for her before the Father and saying, you see my sister Sandra. Just like Abraham said, Lord, would you destroy the whole, all these righteous people with the unrighteous people in Sodom? Do you see advocate? See, the Jews, they understood what an advocate was very clearly. We struggle with that. That's why I read you that text this morning, how that Jesus would send another advocate, one that was like him. Now, we also read here that the Holy Spirit is our advocate, but he is not the advocate for the world. The world does not know him. The world cannot see him. And I want to let you know this morning, now, I know Mario's a Pentecostal, so he's not running away. Right, Mario?
Right.
There you go, okay. Just want to let everybody know he wasn't getting mad or nothing. Besides, we weren't going to let him out anyway. All right, here we go. Holy Spirit is for believers. The disciples have no problem with recognition of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with them and has been with them. And Jesus says that there is a time that's coming when the Holy Spirit will no longer just be with you, but will be in you. Amen. All right? We're going to take a look at that as we continue on. Continuing on in that same verse, continuing reading at that where we stopped reading before. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. He's talking to his disciples, and they're getting a little bit confused. What are you talking about, Jesus? He says, because I live, you will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. That sounds kind of complicated, doesn't it? You know, kind of like a milkshake kind of thing. Whoever has my commands and keeps them, see that little combo there? We're going to talk about that in a minute. Whoever keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Talk about power in your life. The key is obedience. You want to line up on the Lord? The key is obedience. When you line up on the Lord, he comes near to you. When you are doing your own thing, basically saying, I don't need you, Lord, and he is off in the distance. The world does not see him or recognize him or accept him because why? Because they're doing their own thing. When you line up on the Lord, he comes near to you, and you are not like my car trying to get over the hill with no power. The Holy Spirit comes to guide and direct. Can I get a witness on that? You don't want to be like the Super 88. Can I get a witness on that? I want to let you know, one day I'm going to drive that Super 88 to church. There's going to be plenty of power. Amen? Amen. Who's laughing? We'll take you for a ride in that thing. Oh, that's natty. I can hear that. Okay, here we go. Key is obedience. Jesus invites us. Jesus invites you to be a part of the family of God. He says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Talking to his disciples, Romans chapter 8, verse 29, he says, for those God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Jesus welcomes us in. He hung on a cross. He went to the grave. The grave could not hold him. Amen? As he comes out of the grave, a new life, he holds out a nail-pierced hand to us and says, I invite you into my family. I go to heaven to intercede with you. I will send the Holy Spirit to empower you, equip you, and guide you in your life so that you can be part of the kingdom and part of the family of God. That is a pretty good deal. Can I get a witness on that? I hope you have that. I hope you are celebrating that. Because there's a lot of people who would tell you, this is all you got. This is a good book. Can I get a witness on that? I got daily reading log. We got it on our website. We probably put it on Facebook. I don't know how to do that, Yasella. You can figure that out for me. But there's a lot of people who think this is all you got from God. This is a starting point. when God himself comes and takes up residence in your soul and begins to transform you to look more like Jesus, that's a life that's worth living. Amen? Amen. And there is a future that is solidified and guaranteed as you begin to look more and more like Jesus. Amen? Amen. I tell you, it's funny. You know, you see these little kids running around and say, she looks just like her mama. And it's so similar. And when the father says, man, he looks just like Jesus. She looks just like Jesus. They're part of my family. You line up on the Lord and he draws near to you and will transform your life. Amen? This is good stuff, folks. Hope you're taking notes. Get them long extended notes. It's good. If you love me, if you line up on me, and you're saying, how can I line up in God in my life? He says, get the commands, read the book, and work the book. It's not if you just, oh, I know the word. Are you working them? Are you working his commands? Are you letting him guide you? Are you letting him move you? Because we get bullheaded. We get stubborn. Am I the only one? You say, no, man, no, God, I'm good. I am good. You say, I need to tell other people, me and God are good. He's fine with my vodka. You know, my vodka is a gift from God. I couldn't get by without my vodka. It's a lie from the pit, folks. The enemy will give you all kinds of substitutes and keep you from lining up on the God, on the Lord. All right, let me keep on going. Holy Spirit is our connection to the kingdom. Jesus is in the Father, and we are in Jesus. And there is this unique combination thing that goes on in the family of God. You draw near to him, and he comes close to you. I was Friday, I was in the walk-in freezer at Food for Less, picking up dairy stuff. And a guy I know and have known for the last year and a half, I don't use his name, just because you'll find out in a second. I might say it, but I'm trying not to. But he says, how you doing, Pastor Bob? I said, man, I am doing good. And I'm thinking, how good can life be, man? I come into this store, and they give me all this food and meat and milk and cheese and eggs and all this stuff. They give me so much stuff, I can't even fit it all in the Explorer. I had 15 banana boxes on the top of the Explorer on Friday. And I'm like, just looking at him, I'm thinking, dude, it doesn't get any better than this. I'm bursting forth in the blessings of God. And I said, I'm just blessed today, bro. And he goes, well, I guess you can say that. I'm like, how you doing? I said his name. How you doing, bud? And I walk up to him. Closest I'm to Tommy, and I said, how you doing with God? And he stops. And he says, I guess not so good. And I say, you line up on God, and he draws near to you. And it's like, oh, yeah. That's a promise from heaven, folks. You're here this morning, and you are not close to God. This is the roadmap right here. It's a good book. Read it. Crack it. Study it. He'll speak to you through his spirit. So you got to change this. You say, yes, sir. Yes, Lord. Why? Because he who has my commands is part of my family. No. He who has my commands and keeps them will be part of my family. That's called obedience, and obedience is key. Line up on God. He draws near to you. Amen? Amen? All right, let's roll. Holy Spirit is working on everyone. Holy Spirit is working on everyone. Now we're going to jump to John chapter 16. We went from 14 to 16, all right? Holy Spirit works with the world. But very truly, you got a King James Bible, it'll say, verily, verily. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good, Jesus says to his disciples, that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate, talking about the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove to the world. He will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. About sin because the people do not believe in me. About righteousness because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Holy Spirit comes and points out error to the world. He is our conscience. He points us to guilt when we live in the wrong. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody felt guilt about you? That's it? Me and Aaron? There we go. Okay, yeah. Why? Because the Holy Spirit proves you wrong to everybody. It says you're off track. You're not doing the right thing. And realistically, the world does not want to hear. I reject you. Holy Spirit comes to the world and they reject him over and over and over again. I don't want to be corrected. The world wants to make its own rules. Now, Jesus describes this error in three areas. Got them right here for you. Sin, number one. Falling short of the standards of God. World does not believe in Jesus. Because they don't believe in Jesus, they cannot receive, they reject the message of the kingdom. And they fill their lives with sin that separates them further and further and further. You're further off track from God day after day after day. Amen? See, you want God to draw near, you line up on him. You point to him and you start moving. It takes movement. It takes change. It takes action on your part. Amen? And as you move and as you respond to the direction of the Holy Spirit, you move towards the Lord and he begins to move towards you. Now, the greater movement is done on God's part than ours. Amen? But I'll tell you what, you're moving away. God, you show him the hand. Elsie's, she's a pro with the hand. Read the hand. See? People close to her know. You do that to God. God says, see ya. See ya. Second area, righteousness. When you are righteous, you make choices that line you up on the Lord. You are moving towards him. The world is not moving towards him. The world rejects the standards of Jesus. And they make their own standards. The world makes their own standards. And when we make our own standards, we call them desires. Right? This is what I want to do. This is what I should do. And when we are in control of our lives, when we are in charge, we declare our desires to be rights. Read about all kinds of rights. Now, I got the right to do this. Well, realistically, it's not in the book. You're making your own standards, and they're really just the ability to go after your own desires, and then you call your desires rights, so nobody can stand in your way. And the Holy Spirit says, no! And the world just says, shut up. I'm going to do my own thing. Reject him over and over and over again. What do you do when you hear from the Lord? Do you have his commands and keep them? Or are you just hearing them? Because it's a two-part thing. Amen?
Amen.
Are we good?
Yes, amen.
All right, here we go. We're moving quick. The Holy Spirit works on the world and he guides the obedient. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. And that is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit's arrival. When I go, he will come. The arrival of the Holy Spirit is recorded in the book of John. John chapter 20, verse 22. This is after Jesus' arrest. This is after Jesus' crucifixion. This is after Jesus' resurrection, but it is before his ascension. John chapter 20, verse 22. And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And everything changed. Jesus breathed on them and they are transformed. Now the Holy Spirit comes in power on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. And we will be talking about that in the coming weeks. But he continues to come. In fact, Paul says, Ephesians chapter 5, 18, he says, "Be filled with the Holy Spirit." And what he is talking about, to be filled and continue to be filled. That there is a work that the Holy Spirit would do in you, and that over and over and over again, he comes in you and fulfills things in you and brings correction and direction and guidance and support and prayer and intercession. I am glad I have an advocate. Amen? Amen. It's a lot more than a book. Can I get a witness on that? Paul describes the ongoing experience of those that are obedient. Holy Spirit guides believers into truth and into the fullness of the kingdom. When you line up on God, he comes near to you. So I'm sitting at the bottom of the hill in my beloved old Super 88. And I think, or actually I'm thinking, I don't think I got any gas. So I walk up the hill, and I just have to be honest with you. In my shame, I mentioned none of this to my wife. It was in the house. Did not ask her for a ride. See, hon? Actually, I did say, "Where's those jumper cables?" And she didn't ask me what I needed them for, just in case. You know, you want to go back fully equipped. Can I get a witness? So I get him the Explorer, grab a gas can, go down to AM, PM, fill it up with gas, fill up the Super 88 with a little funnel so I don't get gas on the side, and get in that thing. Vroom, vroom. Back on track. Put that baby in drive. Right up that hill, no lack of power now. Went up that hill, had to make a right-hand turn, go up another hill, cruised it right into my garage, praising God all the time. "Lord, get me home! Lord, get me home!" But sometimes what we need is not that tough. Amen? What do you need today? What's your challenge this week? Because I tell you what, I could work on that car all week long. Until I brought gas, I wasn't going to get up that hill. Can I get a witness on that? See, when you line up on God, he draws near to you, and you get what you need. Amen? And we all got a need. Amen. All right, here we go. There's good news coming, folks. Jesus is coming back. Can I get a witness on that? I'll tell you what, folks, I'd be just fine and happy if he came back today. You know, some young people go, "I don't want him to come back today. I got all my life. Hey, I hurt bad enough. My body's messed up enough. I am bald enough. He can come back today and I will celebrate." All the young people are going, "I don't know if I want to go to this church anymore. It's an old man church." Well, all the old men are going, "Yeah, Jesus, come back today." All right, here we go. Things are going to get harder before they get better. I wish I had different news for you. Very truly, again, verily, verily. Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn. This could be the weeping and mourning church, because it's promised by Jesus. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child is pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief. This right now, the time of the church, the time of the Holy Spirit, is a time of grieving. Leader of this planet is guiding its inhabitants off course. Believers, look around. My wife, if you have a conversation with my wife regarding our culture, and many of you had, she is aghast at what passes for standards. That there is just failure after failure after failure. And it weights her down. And that is what our Lord is talking about, a time for grieving. And he compares it to childbirth. How many of you ladies have had a child? It is a challenging time. I asked Belia, when you have the baby, difficult delivery, she said, yeah. I said, when you get the baby, you forget about it. She says, oh, yeah, I got the baby. And so Jesus says, man, you guys are going to be going through a stretch of some really tough times. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse, just like a woman giving birth to a child. And the pains get worse and worse and worse the closer it comes. But I'm going to come back. And when I come back, the joy that you experience will make all this fade away. Come on, there we go. Luke 21, 27, 28. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud. This is what could happen today. With power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, straighten up. Lift up your head. Because your redemption is drawing near. He's coming in the clouds. He's going to come with a great trumpet blast as every eye will see him. And there will be some that know that they have made error because every day the Holy Spirit is speaking to their heart saying, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. And they just want to reject the Holy Spirit. Jesus is coming and he's going to take us with him. Big question for you today is, are you lined up on him? Because he will take us with him to heaven and we will enter into a face-to-face relationship with God. And until then, we wait. And when he comes, all this will fade away. Talk about grieving. I celebrate in this time of grief because I have been brought from darkness to light. Yes. Many of you have had that shift from darkness into light, and we can celebrate this time of the church, this time of the Holy Spirit, because we know where we've come from. But as I see Aaron sitting there and Danny and Matt on the back row and Kyra sitting there, teaches for us, and other folks that have grown up in the church. Man. And they don't come from the pit of despair. Leanne's going to come back on Friday. I think Joe's coming back at the end of the week. They're going to Bible college. And they can look around and they can see. Their college was where Trump had Trump was speaking the other day on, I think, Thursday night. And they closed down their school because they were jumping on police cars and they were doing all this stuff. And for someone who's not come out of darkness, they can look around and just go, this is just crazy. And it's getting worse. But for we who have been saved by the blood of the Lamb. I was saved when I was 29 years old. I had been stoned or drunk for 15 years straight. This is pretty good, folks. And I celebrate in this time of grief. And so some of you have come from a similar path as I have that joy of salvation. While Jesus says it's going to get rough. And as I look around, it's getting rough. Amen?
Amen.
Are you lined up on Him? Are you ready for Him to come back today? Lisa, you come up and play a little bit for me if you would. He's going to come back on the clouds and all the drama is going to fade away and we'll all be jumping up and down.
Yes.
City Heights Assembly jumping down. Yeah, Jesus is coming. It's going to be a great day. Amen?
Amen.
He guides us into truth. The Holy Spirit guides us into truth, gives us power, lives within us so that indeed we might be transformed for when Jesus comes. My question for you this morning is, how are you doing with God? How close is He to you? And how close do you want Him to be? Because there's lots of people out there who are fine with having Jesus be at arm's length. Close, but let's not get crazy here. Not too close. The world keeps Jesus at arm's length. And if He is at arm's length in your life this morning, you're living a lie. The prince of this world has sown deceit into your heart. And you know Him, but you're not doing His commands. You might know His commands, but you're not keeping His commands. Line up on Him, and He begins to draw near to you. The closer He comes, He's going to start fashioning you. He's going to start shaping you. Big question, what do you need Him to do for you today? Test driving that Oldsmobile because it's only got one gear. Now, it might just be a little linkage, which I'm studying about, and it's not just telling it how fast the car's going so it doesn't know to shift gears. It might be a governor gear, which I don't have to take the whole thing apart, but there's a gear that keeps everything on track. Or that transmission might need to come out of that car and be completely rebuilt. I don't know, but God knows. And whatever it is, cover your ears, son. I'm going to get it done. Whatever you need. Hey, no humor at this time. Come on now. Because I tell you what, I don't know what you need in your life. You might just need a little bit of gas. But you need more than you realize what you need. You might need the Lord to work a little linkage in your life. You might need an entire rebuild. You don't know how much you need today, but God does. And as you line up on Him and He comes near to you, He's going to get you through this week. He's preparing you for next week and for complete healing so that when Jesus comes back, you're going to be with everybody going, yes, here I am, Jesus. Here I am. Midst of a tranny job, Lord, but I know I'm going to be face to face with You. Don't clap. Because the Holy Spirit right now speaking to your heart. Just bow your heads if you would. We're going to sing some songs. In fact, the worship team is going to come up.